finished at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion. We've got four of us around the round table, but we just discovered that one headset may not be working. So when Brother Ken speaks, he might have to scream a little louder. But I'm thankful that you've joined us on Let's Face the Issues today. We look forward to the dialogue and discussion on a very, very serious theological, doctrinal, biblical issue that I believe has been cast into the realm of mythology, doubt, and discussion for centuries now, but I believe it's something that we need to understand as a central biblicist as we look at the Scripture, what the Word of God says. Let me just simply toss it out for our beginning point today. We're going to ask the question, after the cross, did Jesus go to hell? There are a lot of people today that are believing and teaching the mythological fact, as they call it, that Jesus died. When he was buried, he went to hell. His body was in the grave, and his spirit was in hell, and he was suffering the torment of hell in order for us to be saved, in order for us to have salvation available to us. Is that true or false? Is that fact or fiction? Ladies and gentlemen, too long now, I believe we've had a situation with anemic, unlearned Christians, churches, and many pastors that are preaching and teaching false theology. By depending on what someone has written, what someone has said, or because of some of the creeds and some of the findings that have been put into print by many denominational dogmas. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the church fathers and the others in the mythology realm have some way, a belief system, rather than going to the Bible, they want to go to a source book of someone else, someone's writing, or some so-called apostles' creed. Let me just take a moment before we continue our brief monologue. I'm going to read to you the first portion of the Apostles' Creed. And may I say to you in advance, the mythology, the false teaching, the false theology, the misunderstanding, the misbelief that Jesus died, went to hell for our sins, and then rose again for our salvation, comes from one single source for hundreds of years. I'm going to read it, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried, and descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Then he goes on with a few other phrases. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the source place, the source page, the source book, if you will, for the misunderstanding and the false theology today about that question. I'm thankful that we have Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis and Brother Ken around the table. Maybe Brother Ken speak loud enough that we can all hear him. So if when he speaks it sounds a little faint, it's because we're having what you call technology demons today in one of our headsets. And so I'm prayerful that you will be blessed by. And we want your calls, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We want to hear from you. Do you believe, this is a question, Do you believe that when Jesus Christ, God incarnate, the God-man, died on Calvary's cross, that he was buried and he went to hell and opened hell for those to have a second chance that perhaps had not believed previously? So, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you, for those that have not tuned in before, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, Brother Ken McElfresh. Brother Ken is the coordinator for the university, for the students' coordination as they come matriculate into our university for to be a student. So, Dr. Phelps, speak for a few minutes, then Dr. Davis and Brother Ken.
Well, the great truth of the Bible is that we have a living and risen Savior. Mm-hmm. Jesus arose from the dead. And whenever we turn in the Scriptures to learn about the resurrection of Christ, it always tells us that Jesus has ascended and gone to be with the Father and raised up, that is, the resurrection of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter talked about the resurrection, and he quotes from the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verse 10, especially. And so whenever he referred to the resurrection of Christ, the Apostle Peter would look back at the Old Testament in Psalm 16, verse 10. That verse is quoted then in the New Testament, book of Acts, chapter 2. But the resurrection of Christ declares that he is the Son of God with power. We have a living, risen Savior today. He lives at the right hand of God. And in Peter's sermon, he talked about how that resurrection was foretold. Mm-hmm. God had a plan, and God's eternal plan included the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
So glad that that's so.
Absolutely.
We have a Savior set down, exalted at the right hand of God.
Absolutely. Thankful for that introduction. Dr. Davis, speak to us a minute. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that we have this privilege. I'm thankful that we're dealing with an issue that rarely will you hear discussed from a pulpit, other than the fact it being misstated, misquoted, and mythology brought in rather than biblical fact. But thank you for being here. Dr. Davis hails from up in Folkestone, Georgia, makes this journey each week to sit in our studio here as we talk about these serious issues. Dr. Davis, after the cross, did Jesus go to hell? Very simply, nutshell thought on that before we go around the table and start diving into the theological debate.
Amen. Well, I want to say good morning, amen. First, thank God for being here, amen, to my bride of 39 years, everyone, amen, that's listening on today. And certainly thank God for this subject, amen, because it can be, let me put it that way, a very controversial subject because of so many different ways that people interpret what is supposed to be the truth of the Scripture. But what we have to realize and understand that God has never made a mistake. God never makes mistakes. So what we need to do is learn how to trust in his word what is written. Now, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever throughout eternal generations. So what we need to do is take the word of God at face value and come to realize that, yes, Christ did die. Praise God. He died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
And he was resurrected.
Right.
And Scripture says in the book of Acts, amen, that when he ascended from the Mount of Olives, he went back to heaven. So that's where my joy is.
Mm-hmm.
My joy and my hope is in the fact that my Savior bodily resurrected. There is a human being, a human body in heaven today, and that is the resurrected body, the perfected body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's where all my hope and
amen,
my joy rests. Amen?
Amen.
We can do the very same thing. Just trust in what God has revealed to us about that.
Amen. And one of the things that I'll touch on at this point, man, is that I have a book in front of me. It's called Please Don't Go to Hell. It's the Biblical Doctrine of Hell. It's a very short treatise, about 80 pages on that. And as I have had the privilege to research and write, preach on the subject and discuss it, hell is a place that, according to the Scripture, hell is a place that is eternal. Hell is a place of debauchery, darkness, destitution, distress, doom, death, damnation, and hell is forever. And I'm looking at my table of contents on the book, that place called Please Don't Go to Hell, and a companion book, that place called Heaven. And when you look at the two, it's an impossibility for us to say that somehow, some way, Jesus went to hell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the word study in just a moment. We're going to talk about how that has become a debated, dark, denigrated thought that somehow, some way, Jesus went to hell. But, Brother Ken, take a moment, if you can speak loud enough that maybe they can hear through my mic that yours is not working.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. It's an honor and privilege to be here today. And I want to just say some things that I do know about this topic that we're discussing today. Number one, when Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, his suffering and payment for sin at that point was 100% complete.
Amen.
Anything after that did not involve his atoning for the sins of mankind, substituting for mankind in their payment of the ransom that was due because of our sin. Number two, speaking of myths and various things that you hear, I hear a lot, people say, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about anything else. I did a quick study of that, and out of the over 1,000 verses that are recorded of what Jesus said, he talked about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven the most, maybe 110 plus times, stewardship, faith and belief, and then judgment and hell in the 70 plus range of verses that he spoke about. So it was a critical topic. It's in the top four, but it wasn't what he talked about most. There were other concepts of the kingdom and spiritual truth that he conveyed. But on this matter of hell, here's what I find that it encompasses. It defines the depths of the human soul that will be lost. It's the full body and soul that's cast into hell. It's of an everlasting duration. Upon physical death, once you go there, you never get out.
Amen.
God's punishment. There's an intensity, and it's not just a physical pain that's endured, that's excruciating beyond words. It's a mental anguish and testing and agony that is brought upon the person. And the worst part of it is you're shut out and cut off from God eternally.
Forever. That's a good introductory thought. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, as we do each and every day right here on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book because Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, he said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I encourage each and everyone to understand what is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, verse 15, that is. It is very, very important for us to understand what God is saying, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." It is the study of the word of God. And may I just add a little phrase to that? It's the study of the word of God in context.
Amen.
To understand what God's word is saying to us. Not base our decision on mythology or what someone has written, even though it might be hundreds and hundreds or thousands of years ago. Understand that some people may have written something with good intent, but made a grave mistake. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the scripture makes a very profound, direct statement. John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And then in Psalms 117:2, says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's a pretty lengthy period of time, forever. But the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And yet we find in the surveys today, about 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, tell us that there's no such thing as absolute truth. There's a deviation from truth. In fact, their statement is, each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." Ladies and gentlemen, You know, it's bad enough to find half-truths in the Socialist Marxist Communist Party called Democrats and the Marxist media, and with those that are on, I call it the loose likes lost left, it's bad enough to find a partial truth, a half-truth, but the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said that that's also something that's a paralyzing thing in the churches today. He says, if you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in America. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, John Huss, pronounced Jan Hus, that's J-A-N, Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day. And more than perhaps any other point in place, we couldn't find any greater challenge than to say we need to study the Word. We need to understand what the Word says in context, the truth of the Word of God. This portion of today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the lawn care business for those that want to carry out that work. And they carry the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, they have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions in relationship to the power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, on the campus of Tools for Time. That's a 165-foot flagpole. On that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today, after the cross, after Jesus shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, did he go to hell and then go back to heaven? Is that a fact, or is it fiction? Is it a mythology, or is it coming from the master book, the Bible? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss that. Love to have your dialogue and discussion. Is that what you've been taught? Is that what your pastor says? Is that what you've been trained to believe in some Bible college or seminary someplace? If so, you need to listen up, tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion, asking your questions. 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, I'll let you be first up since you're on the right side of me, and then we'll make the loop around the table from your side and following. What say you? Why is it necessary to study the Word? Why is it necessary to look at context? Why is it necessary to know word study and context? You've heard me say, and I'm sure many that's ever sat in my class and teaching, I say in hermeneutics to students, Dr. Davis, you remember it, there are things that's important in studying the Word. There are five things, in fact. Context, 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 context. If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext and should never be used for a text. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yes.
So, Dr. Phelps, what say you?
One of the great passages of Scripture is found in Luke chapter 23. Jesus, excuse me, Jesus was crucified with two other men there upon the cross, and one of them was acting the same way as the unbelieving religious people were doing there at that scene, casting upon Jesus the question, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down from the cross and save us? Mm-hmm. But the other one rebuked the man, and he said, don't you fear God, seeing that you're in the same condemnation? And he says, we indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our evil deeds. Now, I was just paraphrasing that passage. But then he looked at Jesus, and he says, remember me, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered and gave a statement that will answer a lot of questions for us here today.
Yes, absolutely.
Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. He didn't say hell or the grave. Mm-hmm. He said paradise.
Right.
I believe that that is a passage that tells us the great truth we need to know. In Isaiah chapter 53, many of you may realize that that's a passage of Scripture that describes the suffering of Christ for us. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that verse tells us that that's speaking to us about the Messiah, about Christ. The entire chapter is about his suffering. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We believe that talks about the suffering of Christ. What happened at the cross was, I believe, the totality of his suffering. But we must remember one of the greatest was his separation from the Father. Sin was laid upon him, and God cannot look upon sin. God turned away, and there was a lack of fellowship for a time when Jesus was upon the cross. That's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I want to read to you a passage of Scripture in Isaiah 53 that I believe is related to our topic here today. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus, the righteous one, died for us who are the unrighteous. And he made his grave, not hell, made his grave with the wicked. And so I believe those two passages need to be considered when we try to understand the Scriptures. Let me remind you that it's true of all of us, you and me as well, that we need help in understanding the Scriptures. Many of the things in the Scripture are called mysteries.
Right.
And God has promised in his Word that he'll help us believing Christians to know the Scriptures. We have the Spirit of God, who is the author of the Scriptures, who will help us to understand these great truths.
Absolutely.
May each of us then rely upon the Spirit of God to show us the truth, and God will help us to understand it.
Absolutely. And one thing, Dr. Davis, that I'm going to read and then ask you a question to respond to. I'm looking at an article that's pretty extensive, and the article asks the question, did Jesus go to hell between his death and resurrection? The article says there's a great deal of confusion regarding this question. The concept that Jesus went to hell after his death on the cross comes primarily from the Apostles' Creed, which state he descended into hell. Now, Dr. Davis, if Jesus is God, and he is, and if God is God the Father, and Jesus is God the Son, if Jesus was born of a virgin, if Jesus had God's blood flowing in his veins, and he did according to Acts 20:28, when he died on the cross, the blood that was shed on the cross was God's blood, why would God need to go to hell to provide us salvation if when Jesus shouted on Calvary's cross, Tetelestai, it is finished, salvation is done? He shouldn't have said, well, I've got one more step, I've got to go to hell first, rather than it is finished. What say you, what do we say to those that are listening today that have been brought up on this subject, that have believed somehow, some way, that the Apostles' Creed is something that is theologically, doctrinally, biblically sound? Now, you can respond to this, but my position is, why not go back to the Bible for the truth? It's the truth book. Why not go back to the original source and not what somebody thought or said centuries ago in the Apostles' Creed? And many, many, many denominations today, ladies and gentlemen, will cling to the words of the Apostles' Creed more than the Word of God. Speak to that, Dr. Davis.
Well, again, Dr. Youngblood, I've heard you say so many times, and you teach that very well. It requires a correct interpretation and understanding of the Scripture.
Yes.
This word was written back in the day, and of course those words, they did the best they could, let me put it this way, with explaining. And also, and I'm talking about interpretation.
Yes.
I'm not speaking about those who were divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. Because the Holy Ghost don't make mistakes.
Right.
So we need to understand that. But during that particular day and time, and I'm reading from the book of Acts chapter 2, and this is how I feel. God put all things in here that pertain unto life and godliness. Mm-hmm. This is what we need to know. And I believe when the Apostle Peter preached after the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to read just a few verses there, it was just to inspire the believers of that particular day and time that even though Jesus died and he was the Son of God, he was also raised from the dead.
Right.
So that's our guarantee that just like God did it for Jesus, he's going to do that through Jesus for us.
1 Corinthians 15 is all about that, yes.
So then we need to put all of our hope and trust in what God has done for Jesus, that he's going to do the same things through Jesus for us. Here's what part of what Peter said. He said, verse 25, Acts chapter 2, verse number 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved." So now he's saying, in other words, solidify your faith in this. All right. He said, "Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." Speaking about the prophecy of David now, and he was prophesying about Christ. When it got down to verse number 26, he said, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Now,
explain that to us, leaving the soul in hell.
Amen. In the Old Testament, the word for hell is sometimes translated as Sheol, which means the grave.
Mm-hmm.
So again, going back to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 29 through 31, Peter was trying to explain to the believers of that day what Sheol, what that meant, so they would get the proper understanding that Christ's body was not left in the grave. God raised him up from the grave.
Yes.
So when he left here, going back to what you said, we need to make sure we understand that he didn't have to go to hell because he went to heaven.
That's right.
Acts chapter 1 is proof of that, because the apostles were standing right there and they said, "We saw him as he ascended up."
Chapter 1.
Mm-hmm. And they explained it very well. So again, now, going back to what you said, we don't need to take other interpretations from other people, John Calvin and different ones like that, and try to put it in today's language to make it mean something, because again, some people want to stand out like a rocket scientist and make people think that they have all the answers and they know it all. But again, what you know, a whole lot of times you're moving far away from the correct interpretation of Scripture.
Absolutely. Very well said. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to ask Brother Ken to respond to it for the benefit of our listeners. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we're having technology difficulties today with one of our headsets. But we've got about a minute before we take the top of the hour news break. In my book, That Place Called Heaven, the understanding of heaven, paradise, the new city of God, New Jerusalem, Holy Jerusalem, the New Earth, and Beulah Land. Each of those are words that are interchangeable all through the Scripture with that place called heaven. So with that being said, there are a lot of mythology out there today. In fact, Dr. David Jeremiah says that you've got paradise. Paradise is a tank, holding tank, I'm using the term. And on one side you got the lost, one side you got the saved. And when it comes to the day of judgment, then some will come out of the one side and go to heaven, some will come out of the other side and go to hell. So, Brother Ken, since our time is gone for this top of the hour, we'll come back right after the top of the hour news. I want you to talk about Do we have a holding place? Is there such a thing as a holding place? Where is it found in the Scripture if there's a holding tank for the lost and the dead? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right